We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yes, get your popcorn ready podcast. Get your popcorn ready podcast. We got my man Uchenna Nwosu in the building.
Yes, sir. My man, sir. What it do?
Seattle Seahawks.
In the building.
He's blinging. Can I get some? That's second round money, boy. He just got it. He's just chilling over there with his hand like
that. It was a gift, though.
It was a gift.
Oh, it's a gift. Oh.
From you to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well deserved.
That's what I'm talking about.
Thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
What you doing? It's off season. You know, it's off season 2023. You moving around. You know, you figured out what to do in the off season as an NFL player. What you got going on, man?
Really just chilling. You know, I come back, spend time with the fam.
Originally from LA, right?
Yep, from LA, from Carson.
Okay.
Grew up there.
Just coming here, chilling, seeing my folks.
That's what's up, right? Went to Narbonne High School, right? Mm-hmm. Down the street a little bit. You go back to see the football team there. You say anything to them, or you ice them out with watches? What's going on at Narbonne?
Shoot, I haven't actually been back in a while. Okay. I know they got a whole new coaching staff up there, right. So I'm still trying to get familiar with them, but hopefully I can be back soon to catch some games.
Yeah, that's what's up. I know it's hard during the season. Obviously, you got your own games, whatever. So up in the Northwest Seattle, how you liking it up there?
I love it. Like I said earlier, they showed me some real love out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the weather, you know, it is what it is.
But oh,
fan base what? Makes it worth it. You know, the football makes it worth it.
True.
The lifestyle, the experiences make it worth it. So I'm happy to be there.
Right. Now, again, the first time really out of L.A., right, was at USC, then the Chargers. Now you're up there. Like, how about, like, the weather change and all that stuff? How are you liking it?
Honestly, it's kind of similar to what's been going on these last
month. Oh, it's been crazy here, right? Oh, it's so cold and rainy.
I kind of blame myself, man. Everybody been saying, man,
you brought this Seattle weather down here.
So blame him, everybody.
Don't blame me. But I mean,
so crazy. This is what y'all get on a regular basis. So this is like nothing for you.
I'm still getting used to it. I'm being in LA for so long, you never really get used to it.
But true.
Trying to.
True.
Yeah, that's what. Never went out to like the East Coast. Never lived there for an off season or Texas or Ohio. Nothing. Are you going to do something different one day? Or are you just like, yo, I'm a West Coast kid. Period.
Maybe if my career takes me there, right. But if I don't have to go, I ain't going.
Okay. You ever visited like Miami, New York?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I used to train before, you know, pre-draft. I trained down in Florida. Okay. Spent some time there. You know, I like Florida a lot. You know, the weather's good.
Yeah.
Food's good. But always got to come back to the West.
True. Yeah, love the West Coast, huh? Who were you training with in Florida?
I was at Bomberito's, Pete Bomberito.
Okay.
Yeah, they got a facility. A lot of NFL guys go down there.
Okay.
Tyreek Hill been down there. Mm-hmm. A lot of NFL guys go down there.
That's what's up. All right.
Well, y'all had a great year this past year. I wouldn't say great, but considering
what's going on, all things being considered.
Now y'all got your quarterback solidified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
3-year deal.
Yeah, exactly. So what are the expectations now that, because I think that was kind of looming, and now you guys can go into this season and now establishing the offseason of what you guys can do this upcoming season. What do you think you guys need right now to get back to the Super Bowl?
For me, you know, this being my first year there last season, mm-hmm. you know, I've seen a lot, learned a lot. So I've kind of like, you know, sat in the back a little bit, watched how the culture was. And, you know, going into this next year, I feel like, you know, we just need more togetherness. I feel like a lot of dudes, you know, a lot of guys being on contract years, a lot of guys not really knowing what's going on. You know, people were just kind of concerned about trying to, you know, how can I, you know, got to play my hardest, of course, but I got to make sure myself is good. Right. I feel like going into this year where a lot of guys are solidified, a lot of guys coming back, we get new guys, we can spend more time together and just try to be as healthy as possible. You know, we lost a lot of key guys last year, kind of early in the season, kind of middle of the season. And I feel like when we get everybody back together, it's going to be good.
Yeah, let's dig a little bit deeper into that because, again, we're always talking about all everybody has talent in the NFL. And I really like to stress, right, locker room. That locker room's so important, that team camaraderie. Like, what's something in you guys' locker room now that you've seen that maybe not have not seen, let's say, maybe at USC or with the Chargers?
Yeah, just the environment, the way Pete Carroll keeps the team and the locker room together. You know, it's kind of different from other NFL teams. You know, during team meetings, we having shoot-offs, you know. We're getting basketballs. We're going at it with each other. It's a lot. It's very competitive out there. Yes. And that's what I really like it. And I feel like that's what you really need to win. And Pete's done a great job establishing that over the years through those Super Bowl years. And, you know, through the years now, is keeping that competitive edge and making sure a lot of guys are ready to compete.
Hey, man, you know DR? Huh? You got some DRs on? Why you spending that money?
Nah, man, it was a gift.
Man, I'm looking down. I'm like,
another gift.
It was
gift.
A gift, yeah.
Man,
that's
what?
Oh, man.
Man, a little light work.
I got sidetracked.
5 years in, I got to get myself something nice, right?
Yeah, 5 years
I got sidetracked. My bad, dog. You're talking about shoot-offs and stuff, you know what I mean? Camaraderie, and I'm looking down. Okay, I see the CD. Okay,
but again, the most important thing you just said was I'm 5 years in. So you didn't think like this when you was like a rookie second year, a little bit more conservative, you think?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was definitely a lot more conservative than I am now. You know, I like to, you know, treat myself a little bit more now.
That's, hey, there ain't nothing wrong with that, man. Yeah. Trust me. You're talking to probably one of the most frugal guys in here. Yeah, so you definitely gotta treat yourself when needed.
When need so, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now again, that thought process of maturing, right? You're one of the leaders in the locker room, right? Mm-hmm. Going on your 6th year now. It's like people looking at you. You know, because, again, the average is 2.5 years right now. So do you lead them, like, when it comes to off-the-field stuff, or is it just, like, an on-field thing with you?
For me, I definitely do both. I'm trying to be more of a leader on the field. Like I said, it was my first year there, so I didn't want to overstep no boundaries.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, going into this next year, you're right. Yeah. You know, I can, you know, be more vocal. But I'm more of a lead-by-example guy on the field. I let my play and my work take care of everything. Mm-hmm. And off the field, I try to show, you know, guys, you know, get involved with the community, you know, give back, you know, because that's what it's for. Because if it wasn't for these people, you wouldn't be in the position you is. So
absolutely.
I try to do my part in both fields.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome, man. Again, because a lot of guys don't really mature that way to like their 8th or 10th year. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
It seems like you figured it out. And again, that's what's important for especially your career after. You know, and again, trying to talk to the younger guys about this is how to handle it while you're playing to understand that point. So when you get done, you know exactly what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So again, like on the business side, entrepreneur side, what's some of those things that kind of interest you?
Definitely real estate. Okay. That's something my dad is just, you know, pounded in my head. You know, that African culture, you gotta have always something productive going on, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's what my dad pounded into my head is real estate. You know, after you're done working, you have money making money for you. You don't have to, you know, you can be your own boss. You can do your own thing. So
that's mailbox money.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to establish after I'm done, while I'm playing and after I'm done.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
What are some of the things you're doing? Like you interning at places, you just buying a lot of property, like, or you're learning on the go, like what's your thing in real estate right now?
Yeah, definitely getting as many properties as I can, trying to acquire, definitely learning as I'm going. Not really doing any internships, but that's something I can look into.
Mm-hmm.
Thought about going back to school, but. that's what I'm saying. Like, once you think about that, like, do I really got time?
Yeah,
like,
I got to get up.
Yeah. But it's definitely a thought, though. But like you said, learning on the go, just trying to establish real estate, acquiring as much property as I can. I know interest rates are high right now, but still got to keep at it.
Still got to get it, right?
Yeah, but, man, you guys just got to do, like you said, do what's best for you, prioritize, and like I said, I mean, school ain't going nowhere. Yeah.
Right.
You can always go back and get your degree or go take some other classes, kind of expand upon what you're doing.
I got my degree already. I made sure I got my degree. Right. It was going back just to get, like, master's.
And right. Expand on what you got going on. You know, coming from the Chargers, and then obviously first year with the Seahawks, why do you think you – reach highs in everything, like tackle, sacks. What is the difference between where you were and where you are now as far as the production is concerned? Is it because they put you in the right positions, or was it the scheme? What is it now, like I said, you're in your sixth year, first year with the Seahawks. Like sometimes, like that's hard to do because you, like you said, you're trying to fill the team out, fit in, everything, and you play, you know, your best year.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it was more like a mindset thing. You know, me, I thought I was going to go back to LA, you know, but unfortunately that didn't happen. So I kind of went into the season like I had a chip on my shoulder. You know, I had something to prove. Okay. I had some anger to get off my chest. Okay. You know? So I was playing kind of angry all season. I had to show them what they, you know, missed out on, you know. So I was kind of playing like that. The scheme was pretty much similar. The position was similar. So it wasn't really nothing I had to learn new. But more of just like trying to prove myself more that I am like, you know, capable of being in this league and, you know, showing teams what they missed out on pretty much.
Now, do you know how to bottle that now so that you can bring that out in 17 weeks in a row?
Absolutely.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, now because that's going to be the expectation.
Yes, like, that's the floor.
Right, yeah. You've shown what you could do. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, that chip, that motivation ain't always going to be there. That was there last year. Mm-hmm. So now what are you going to do to build on what you've established?
You know, just trying to achieve my goals. You know, I have goals that I want to reach. And the only way to do those goals is build off what I did last year. Individual goals and team goals. Of course, the Super Bowl, you know, everybody wants to get to the Super Bowl. You know how hard that is. But, of course, if I keep playing my best, you know, and everybody plays their best, we'll get there. But individual goals, you know, feel like, you know, being able to make the Pro Bowl and say I have that, you know, that accolade. You know, becoming an all-pro, you know, breaking double digits, being a double-digit sack guy. You know, all those little accolades I feel like I want to reach. So I have to just keep building on it from what I did last year.
Right. Now, again, do you consider yourself, again, size matters in this, you know, I guess, aspect, right? Are you a tweener? Or do you just consider yourself you're not a tweener? Because a lot of the teams will look at you as, okay, can he be a walk-up guy, outside guy, drop guy, or is he just a rush guy?
I'm an athlete. Right. Yeah, okay. I did. I played basketball. I swam. I did everything. I played
really
football.
Really swam? Okay.
Yeah. I played offense.
Something you don't
defense.
Know anything
no,
about.
No, I can't swim, so you got me on that.
Well, I can't. I can float.
I'm with you then.
I can't go down no 50, 100 yard and compete, but I can float. I can stay afloat.
I can float to save my life.
Exactly.
That's what
if I needed to, I could stay alive.
Already. Bro, I don't even know if you can do that.
I don't even know if you can do that now.
Yeah, but it just show that I can do multiple things. I feel like guys like in my position are kind of hard to find in the league, the guys that can rush the passer and drop in coverage. Yeah. And so I feel like, you know, I'm able to do both, and I'm able to showcase both of those skills. And I feel like that's really a plus going into this league.
Absolutely. Who do you like pattern your game after right now? Looking at back at, do you look at the Derek Thomases of the world? Or Lawrence Taylor was a linebacker but ended up being a rush guy. Like, who do you kind of pattern yourself out as an athlete?
Honestly, nobody really, because I wasn't really a football guy growing up. Like, I watched football, of course, but I was always a basketball player. So, you know, all the past players, you know, growing up, I never really watched them or paid close attention to them. So I really can't give an answer for that.
So you got basketball game like that?
Yeah, I mean, shoot. I was getting looked at by some colleges, you know.
Really? Okay.
Some D2s there, here, and there. But I wasn't like, AI or nothing. I wasn't Curry. But
do you play now, though?
You know, just for cardio, but
yeah.
So your game was you Draymond Green?
Yeah.
Kendrick Perkins,
nah,
you know.
Nah. I was more of a Draymond. I was like defending the good guys, you know, defending, rebounding.
Okay.
You know, really the tough body out there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
That's fine. I liked it though. I liked it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of players, we hoop in the off season. That's why I was like, do you hoop now? Yeah. That was really the first cardio that most people do
that's
in the off season.
That's all we did,
To stay in shape and run around a little bit. So.
Is that a purple jacket you got
on? Oh, my God, Jesus.
Man, this dude got...
Come on, man.
Hey, he ain't letting you off the hook.
What you got on,
man? I got some Old Navy shit.
That is not Old Navy. He's real custom right there.
Say it again.
I got some Allbirds slippers on, dog.
I see you got a chain on,
it's just some little something. I think it might be like Jackson or something.
Nah, man. It look like it was Johnny Gay, man. Something right there.
You know what I'm saying? You got a purple, dog.
It was a gift.
Oh, man. The gift should keep on gifting then. You know what I mean? I got to put my shades on there.
Oh, man, that's the shade. Whoa.
Yeah, you see that? I ain't never even seen those before.
Oh,
yeah, these T.O.s. You'll get
T.O.s?
You some.
Yeah.
Send them some in the mail, man.
Send some of those, man.
I got you, bro. I got you.
Send them some.
Get y'all some of these, man. Prototype81.com, man. Go to the site. Get you some. Get of those
your 10
shades,
pair.
I like those. I like those.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. I got you. Yeah,
let's go back to your high school career a little bit, right? Went to Narbonne High School again.
Narbonne?
I call it Narbonne.
Narbonne.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay,
again, being recruited, right? You're one of the big names in LA. Like, how was that process going, getting to USC, and like, what was the biggest challenge for you to get into USC?
Man, my recruiting process actually was not as big as you think it was. Okay. I was not a big time recruit like that. Good. I probably had about 5-6 offers.
Yep.
It was funny because the SC offer, I got lucky with that one because I think at the time Lane Kiffin was the coach,
mm-hmm.
And he didn't really know much about me, so I didn't really expect the offer. But then one of my coaches, my linebacker coach at SC, Robert Gill, he worked at SC. He was always cool with the football staff and all that. So he was, you know, begging those guys, come check out my kid. Right, I got at Narbonne. Come check him out. They're like, okay, Gill, we see you. And then finally, when Coach Kiffin got let go, I think Coach Orgeron was taken over as an interim head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gill finally got Coach O to check me out, and he said he loved me. And he ever ended up giving me a scholarship to SC. Which is crazy because he ended up going to LSU.
Right.
And
right,
I never
right.
got to meet him until about a week ago. We went to a memorial service for a lost friend at SC, and I met him for the first time. So,
wow.
Shout out to Coach O.
Absolutely. Because, again, we're trying to tell, you know, the young kids that watch the show, we're always trying to say it's not about getting 10, 20, 30 offers, and I have to have these offers as a sophomore, and I'm legit now. Like, I ain't got nothing to do
with it. You only get one.
You can only go to one school.
Right.
Like, focus on getting better.
Yeah.
And so what's some of the things that you would tell young kids right now? I said, what do you focus on, like, your junior, senior year if you want to play college football?
I'll be telling kids right, really just to focus on the grades and the schoolwork because okay. I didn't been around so many kids that should have been in the league. I'm a sophomore, you know, in high school, watching these kids. All these guys got all these talent. They jump higher than me. They faster than me, stronger than me, all this thing. But for some reason, coaches don't want them because their grades in the school are not good.
Yeah, or they're not character kids.
The kids are getting involved in the wrong things.
Right,
you know, so I didn't see our offers get snatched up. So I tell kids, you know, focus on your education. Make sure your grades is right. So when these colleges do come and pick you up, you know, they're not questioning you. They're not considering, oh, should we pull it? You know, they're going to take you right there. So
yeah.
I really tell kids to really focus in the classroom.
Yeah that's a big deal. Because it's hard for them to do that now.
Right? Yeah, that's good advice because a lot of these kids, they just rely on their talent. You know what I mean? And they just feel like, okay, I can just get in off talent alone. But then, you know,
don't really
have an education to piggyback or back that up. Mm-hmm. And again, now, like I said, there's a curriculum. You got to maintain a certain GPA to be in school. Yeah, and then even to, you know, certain coaches, they're strict about it as well, which is good. Like, you got to maintain a GPA, and you should basically challenge yourself to be better than just the norm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just the standard. And some of these kids, like I said, they just rely on their talent to get them by, get them through. But at some point, you're going to be faced with, okay, I got to do this or I got to do that. And then, as you said, I mean, you're going to be surrounded by friends that are not going to be as talented, going to be jealous of you, envious of you, not really wanting to see you succeed. And then you're trying to do what they're doing, and it's just not a good look. But, yeah, that's great advice, obviously, for a lot of kids out there. Even just listening, you're watching. I know it's redundant. Stay in school,
right?
Educate yourself, surround yourself with, you know, the right people, the right friends, circle of friends, and just keep working hard because at the end of the day, you just never know who's watching, who has relationships with certain people to get you in the door. Like I said, your story is similar to like mine, and the other kid we just had in here.
Higgins.
Elijah. I mean, he didn't really follow football that much either. Me, I didn't really follow football that much either. I got to college on the heels of another receiver. And then, like I said, I just made it work. So that was an opportunity, just taking advantage of those opportunities. So it seems like that's what you've done. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we have similarities too, like basketball players. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you're not a basketball player.
I'm a hooper. It's different. Basketball players, they're hoopers.
It is a hooper. It is a difference. I was just a basketball player. I wasn't a hooper. I was a basketball player.
You know what I mean? But yeah, man, so again, to hear your story, man, and for me, what it sounds like, you took full advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah.
Even like I said, Coach O was there, then didn't get the chance to meet him. Like, he switch transfers or, you know,
goes to
LSU. Now you got a new coach, you know what I mean? He's not even on your radar. You're probably not even on his radar. Now you got to go in and play. You got to prove yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's a process. It's a journey. And now look at you now. You're 6 years in the league, playing for the Seattle Seahawks. Definitely, like, you guys had a pretty better than decent year, especially going into the season. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with the play of Geno. Playing, I mean, exceptionally well. I mean, I'm sure you think about the pressure that he had to feel filling in for Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. trying to lead an organization. Like I said, he can't do it by himself, right. But it takes guys like you on the defensive side about doing what y'all do. Mm-hmm. To obviously give the offense opportunities to put points on the board. I think you already kind of touched on, like, what it's going to take for you, obviously, to get to that next level, obviously be a Pro Bowl and things of that nature. What do you foresee the season to look like now that, like I said, we already talked a little bit, you got Geno solidified. What do you think defensively you guys need to shore up, obviously, to put yourself in contention, obviously, to win a lot of games and then get into the playoffs? And obviously, we know once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure you guys saw our stats and all that stuff. Everybody was talking about it all season, but the run game, I feel like that's where it starts in the trenches for us. We weren't that good in the run. We had some good games, but more than not, we let guys, run all over us, which is unacceptable. So, the GM and the head coaches are doing a great job making sure we shore up that run game, getting guys in there to stop that. So it all starts in the trenches. So we make sure we get the right guys in there to be able to, stop that and give ourselves a chance. We got a good back end secondary. We got Woolen, we got Diggs, we got Jamal.
Right, because you guys are going to help the pass defense, you know what I mean? So if you guys can, what you're trying to explain to the audience, you kind of shore up that run defense. Obviously, like I said, that's obviously going to help with on the back end, obviously the pass defense and things of that nature. And then you feel like those are the things that, obviously the draft is about to happen. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the things that you guys need to really hone in on.
Absolutely.
Obviously the individual play and then obviously the plug and play of pieces that you guys are going to acquire to get to the next level, huh?
Absolutely.
So let me put you as a general manager. Who would you draft first round for you guys?
Who would I draft?
What position, if you don't know the player, like give me what position that would fit you guys perfect as a defense? Like if you're the general manager, you need a one tech, you need another defensive end on the other side, you need a backer.
For me, man, I like the trenches, man. I feel like you get a big dude in there. So
the kid from Georgia, if you got that boy from Georgia.
I met him actually at the Super Bowl. I like him, man. He's a big dude, man. Walk up on you, you think he'd be bigger than what you think, too.
He's a big dude.
I never
get
to watch him play, but just from seeing clips in here, he's throwing guys around, getting off blocks, making tackles, pass rushing. I'm like, I want him.
Yeah. If you had him at the one tech, it'd be on for y'all.
It'll be over. Ooh. I think he's more of like a three technique, but that's still good. Three technique is still good. Probably he can probably play both one and shade or three and shade. So I like him a lot.
That would be the fit, though, for what you guys need in on the defensive side.
It would definitely help. Okay. It would definitely help.
Yeah, for sure. Because, again, that whole – it's more than one piece, obviously, but I'm trying to just see where direction you guys go. Right?
Yeah.
So, again, draft comes around – they don't get nobody in the trenches, no linebackers. They, go receiver, quarterback, running back, tight end the first four rounds. You look at that stuff like, what are we doing? Or just like, okay, we'll work it out. Like, how do you look at that from a player's perspective?
I don't question the coaches. I'm sure they know what they're doing. They get paid a lot of money to make those decisions. So I wouldn't question it, at all. So you just got to make it work. whatever comes, you know?
Because it's like the A-Rod thing, right? It's like some players, they want to be, they don't really want to be part of the process of draft day, but they want to know, or they think they know that if we did this, we'd be better, you know? So it's like, some players don't approach it like that, some players do. And I was always like, yeah, if we had these certain pieces, we'd be better, you know? So that's why I was asking that question. It's like, you don't want to be the GM, obviously, you know what I'm saying? But you're like, hey, what about with the wink, wink, elbow type of deal?
Yeah, you know, people do that now. You know, people recruiting guys like, hey, come play with
us. Like, right,
for social media, you see what's going on. So, you know, guys see what talent is out there and with how they can help the team. So it kind of guys pretend to be GMs, but not really.
Right. So you ain't hitting nobody up on social media like, hey, up here in the Northwest, we got a lot going on? Or
I honestly don't really know people like that. I know a couple guys, you know, from ball, but like on a personal level, like I train by myself, so I don't really be around a lot of these guys for real. But when if I see them on the field, it's all love, you know?
Yeah.
So who's coming out of the NFC West?
Us.
I mean, that's a dumb question.
You got to be a realist too, because like you guys were at the top. You guys were right there at the end.
Yeah.
Obviously, the 49ers.
They got their issues. You know, everybody.
Everybody got their issues.
Oh, so they Niners got some issues.
Everybody got issues.
Okay.
They ain't got a quarterback.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Let me ask you this. Right. We know the Niners defense is pretty good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What quarterback, if they went to the Niners, you'd be like, oof, that's a problem.
Lamar?
I said the same thing. If Lamar went to the Niners, it's a problem.
Or what about
problem.
A-Rod? I think A-Rod, too.
No, because it's the system.
But he plays West. Because
now
Coast.
Debo has to just play receiver, and Christian just plays running back if you have A-Rod. You got Lamar, all them pieces is moving.
Yeah.
But if you think about how A-Rod used
Devontae?
Aaron, the running back.
Aaron Jones.
That could be similar to how either Debo
McCaffrey.
Or McCaffrey.
I feel like A-Rod could kind of fit in any system.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's A-Rod.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
But that system is scary with Lamar, though. With all those moving pieces. I mean, you got Kittle and you got Ayuk.
And trying to chase down Lamar is like.
That's a problem in itself.
No? Okay. You don't want to do that?
No.
Okay.
No, it's crazy. Every time I played against Lamar, I actually sacked him.
Oh, really? Okay.
Three times.
Oh, so you own Lamar?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh, you heard it right here on GPR, my man.
It's a gift. I'm just saying, like, I got experience with Lamar. So.
Oh, okay.
That's a very political way to say it.
I thought you were implying you own Lamar.
Nah, definitely don't own Lamar. No, hell no. No, sir.
But you got him in check, though.
No.
You ain't got him in check.
I mean,
that's a little bit better than owning him. Like, in check is like, okay, I see you.
Yeah,
like,
don't fall into it, but
I know how to play against Lamar.
Okay, all right, that's kind of like, okay, you kind of got him in check a little bit.
What do you think? You say you know how to play. Like, how do you play him compared to?
Or were you just in the right place at the right time?
Yeah, you got to be in the right place at the right time.
So you were just lucky then?
No, I wasn't lucky.
No, he played the system.
I played the system.
Played it well.
Okay. I know what he likes to do. You know, you study him. You see his tendencies and use that to your advantage.
Okay, all
right. Give me a couple of tendencies Lamar got that you know of right now.
I'm
sure 100 people know it.
Right, yeah.
Give our audience who probably don't know.
Right, yeah, it's like just that. Schematics and just kind of educating the audience on like what you see as a linebacker.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, what a receiver may see, or on the back end, a safety or a corner may see. Because your perspective is different, totally different, different from the guys too in the trenches.
Well, you know, Lamar, you know, he's a good scrambler. You know, so you got to definitely try to contain. It takes more than one, but you definitely got to try to contain him, keep him in the pocket, make sure your rush lanes is good. You can kind of force him to go a certain way, I guess you can say. You can do that with any quarterback, kind of.
Right.
But you kind of want to keep him in the pocket. You want to do your job and just keep him in the pocket.
Yeah. Right. So stay in the pocket. That's the answer for Lamar.
And then no free rushes. Don't try to, you know, do your best pass rush move. You're going to get high. You know, make sure you keep an eye on Lamar when you rush. It's not one of those guys where you can just free rush, you know he's gonna be in the pocket.
You don't know.
You gotta keep your eyes on him at all times. You know, if you're going too high, you gotta know, you gotta spin back quick because you know he's gonna get out of there. Mm-hmm. Or if you're going underneath, tell your three technique, hey, I'm going underneath, make sure you cover me because you know he's gonna scramble out. Any little open lane, he's taking it. So having eyes on Lamar is, you gotta do him, Kyler Murray, all those mobile quarterbacks, that's how you gotta play him.
And for a guy like you, obviously, linebacker, your pursuit angles have to be on point as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so good.
He's definitely got me a couple times too. I ain't gonna say he definitely got me one time. Got me good too. I ain't gonna cap. He got me good.
Okay. So again, preparing for a quarterback like that, or preparing for the Bradys and the A-Rods of the world, like which one is a more difficult sleep at night during that week?
Lamar
by far,
because so he can
rather
run
go against a pocket passer.
Yes,
and know where he's gonna be. Know where your pass rush lane.
Yes.
That's an easier sleep for the defense.
Yes. When you got a quarterback that can run as fast as him, like, it just messes you up as a rusher. Like, you're thinking now, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't want to be a thinker. You want to just be out there playing. Now you got to really watch. You got to really, okay, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. When you're playing against pocket guys, okay, I can do this. I can get away with this.
Right.
But I think you alluded to it just earlier, too, right before that, like communication, too, just knowing that, okay, and that comes with preparation, watching film, you know, your three technique, whomever. Like, okay, if I'm spinning a certain way, making sure you got my back, you're filling those lanes. And again, if you're playing freely like that and understanding that everybody's on the same page, then you can just play. But if you're out there thinking and then, you know, not sure if you're, you know, your back end has not really got your back, then that's when, like I said, I think you're in a lot of trouble. But I think communication, I think that solves a lot of those guessing moments.
Mm-hmm. What's some of the tackles or tight ends that kind of got your number?
That got my number?
Yeah, that like, oh, I got a problem with him. Like that's my kryptonite. You know, every player is like, oh, I go up against him. None of them.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. Tight ends I played against when I was in the AFC West with the Chargers.
Let's see. So Hunter from the that was your
so y'all. Kelce,
Travis Kelce,
Broncos. I don't even think they had a
good tie.
Right.
The Raiders, Waller, we weren't really a blocker. Didn't really. Okay. And I see the Chargers, you know.
Okay.
And then now the Cardinals, I don't know.
Kittle.
He's deceptive. He's deceptive.
Though.
No, he can get after you if he catch you slipping.
Okay.
Like he can really get after you, but like I feel like for me personally, I can take him one on one blocking, like in line. Like but covering them, that's a different story, you know, one-on-one.
Yeah, different story.
If I have help, I can finesse it. But one-on-one, covering, that's a different story. But blocking, I feel like I can hold my own.
Right.
Who else? The Rams.
Right.
I don't really see nothing. No.
Okay. Yeah. What about some right or left tackles? It's hard getting around this guy. Like,
yeah. Let's see.
You got
the Rams. They got some good tackles. But
Chargers, Denver Raiders tackle,
big boy for the
Colton Miller was pretty good. Oh, Niners, Trent Williams. Oh yeah, he's a problem. He's a monster.
Right.
He's definitely a monster. Strong, deceptive, quick. Got good feet. I see why he's been a Pro Bowl so many times.
Well, you went against in practice, I'm sure.
Charles Cross. You talking about my tackles? What are you talking about?
Chargers. Whitworth. That's a Rams. He was the Chargers.
Yeah. Oh, right. I'm thinking LA team.
Okay,
I'm thinking LA team.
Slater's a good tackle from the Chargers.
Okay, Slater.
Okay. He got hurt last year, but he's a good tackle. He's going to be real good. He's really strong. Cole Miller, he's gotten better over the years. I've been playing him since UCLA days and when I was at SC. He's gotten better. He's going to continue to get better. Orlando Brown, I like him a lot. He's got long arms. He just got paid, I think, with the Bengals.
He got paid with the Chiefs. Bengals or the Chiefs?
He got paid by the Chiefs.
Gotcha, right.
Okay. What type of those players give you the most problems? Like, is it long arms? Is it the footwork?
Right. I'll say guys that are heavy, you know, just heavy
you
guys.
You can't move them. 320, 330.
330, like, man. Sometimes you can catch them slipping with, you know, going to speed, and getting them. You got to use finesse with those guys. Mm-hmm, yeah. But yeah, I'll probably say the ones with good feet because they can keep up with me. Like Trent, he's got really good feet. You think you got him, then he'll just ride you because he got good feet.
Right.
But I'll probably say your tackles with good athleticism are the tough ones for me.
So what kind of training goes into preparing for guys like that? You know, especially like as a linebacker, like what kind of training do you do to help, like I said, going into each year? And obviously each tackle is different. It's game by game.
So you're talking about during practice or like off-season?
Off-season training.
Yeah, for me, I'll probably say just work on my deficiencies, really. Mm. So if I know if I'm facing a lot of tackles in the league that are getting more athletic, you know, I'll work on like getting stronger so I can go speed the power. Mm. But also still keeping my speed because I feel like the get off is really what it's all about. That's how you really win. Because if you have the same get off all the time, you can really do whatever you want from there. If you look at Bosa from the Niners.
Nick Bosa.
He has the same, both of them. They have the same get off every single time. Like, that's all they do is get off the ball, then they'll go from there. So
right.
That's what I constantly train on, staying low and getting working on my get off. I can get off, he kicks hard, come inside.
Right.
Get off, beat him around the edge. So
it's a speed game.
For yeah, it's definitely, that's what the league is now. It's definitely a speed game.
Mm-hmm. What do you think has changed in, like, the USC? You were going into the NFL. Like, it was kind of a different game personally to me 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, what do you think has changed over these last 5 years?
People are just getting faster. Really? If people get faster, I'm getting slower. I don't know. I don't think I'm getting slower.
Right. Yeah.
But I just feel like it's more like spread. Like, there's a lot of everything spread out. Fast. Everybody's fast now. Like, you really, like, you can be, it's always like a, it's, game of inches, like they always say. Yep. That's really what
game
it is
inches,
now. So
game of seconds,
you can't have no wasted movements out there, because if you waste a move, that's the sack between you getting a sack fumble and this being a touchdown. You know, so it's really a game of inches, just trying to close the speed, close the gap. Depth, and mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Again, it's the because you know, really that last. Probably, like I said, when you were in high school, that's when, like, the offenses started to change, mm-hmm. right? You started seeing the more mobile quarterbacks and all that. And, like, now, shoot, we were considered a passing offense, and we were throwing the ball 30 times a game.
Mm.
Now you literally see teams throw the ball 50 times.
They're on the perimeter.
Everything is right,
have guys
spread
that can run.
Sideways, right? So does that help your game, though? I think it helps, like, a pass
rusher
more.
That's why you see guys, you know, they're not looking for outside linebackers to be, you know.
Yeah, 6'4", 240.
You want them kind of fast and got speed so they'd be able to chase down the screens and mm-hmm. chase down the bubbles and, you know, run from behind and catch these guys. So, yeah, the game's turning to speed now.
Sideline to sideline.
Sideline to sideline.
It's crazy. Because, again, it's like you're probably seeing that Oregon offense,
mm-hmm.
right? And that was – the only time y'all would see that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But now fast forward 2023, that's right. Every Oregon. Single Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, what has changed on the defensive side? I've seen what's changed on the offensive side. What do you think's changed on the defensive side since you see spread more?
A lot of more nickel personnels, personnel packages. You see safeties playing linebacker now.
True.
More DBs on the field to be able to cover these receivers, because these receivers are getting crazy now.
Yeah. Everybody's a 4-2 and 4-3.
Yeah, the amount they be throwing the ball, you need guys that can cover.
Yep.
And you need guys that can get to the quarterback fast. So a lot more like nickel personnel defense and more DBs on the field. That's pretty much what I see a lot happening now.
I have a question. Do you think some of the rule changes have kind of made you guys aware of how you guys tackle mm-hmm. all these things? Like, and then what do you think about, like, some of the just like the tiki tack
roughing up, roughing the passer,
things of that nature? Does that disrupt how you play just a bit? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I mean, just go back to just the injury to DeMar Hamlin. Like I said, that was like a bang bang type of play. Everybody's trying to blame it on the defender, you know what I mean? Like, yes, bang, bang, play. Like, you know, it's almost like the wrong place to hit him at the right time. Obviously, mm-hmm. that causes, you know, irregular heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at some of the ticky-tack flags that are being thrown about how you guys tackle, land on guys, mm-hmm. or what have you. Are you guys, when as the play is unfolding, are you sometimes consciously thinking about that, you know, as the play is going on? Because, like I said, I can't imagine being a defensive player trying to play fast,
under control,
and then in the back of your mind, the play's unfolded. You see a ball thrown or whatever, you got to position your body in an instant of how to attack, tackle the guy, all those things.
Yeah, definitely. Think about that all the time, especially considering how much they take from you when you make one of those guys.
Right, that's what I'm saying, because now it's money coming out of you guys' pocket. Exactly. Like, not just no chump change, it's like 20, 30,000.
Have you been fined yet?
Oh, man. I was fined probably like 4 or 5 times this year.
Which one would they hit you with every time?
I had a roughing the passer. I've had...
That's 10K?
A roughing the passer, nah, that's more. Hitting the quarterback, really? That's more. That's probably like 24. Yeah, man. It's really unfair because, you know, you work so hard, you practice so hard, And, you know, you're in the moment, you're in the heat of the moment. You're not thinking about to grab the quarterback and let him go.
Right,
you know,
that's what I'm saying.
Or quit, you try your hardest to turn to the side and do all these little things. It's hard, you know. And, you know, I don't know what the league sees, but I don't know if they understand. Like, it's really difficult. Like, we try, we practice it, but live bullets, it's tough. You know, it's really hard.
And then at the same time, like I said, it can make or break, you know, it could decide the outcome of games too. I think, what do you think needs to be done, or do you think there are going to be any more changes to help the defense to adapt to, you know, being able to tackle? Again, like I said, some of the roughing the passers is like, it's ridiculous. Like, you can just graze somebody out. You could be reaching out for something and just graze a dude across the head, and it's like,
15.
Right.
Honestly, don't think nothing's going to change, honestly. You know, the league likes seeing scoring. They like seeing offenses score the ball. So any way the offense can get extra possessions, stay on the field and score.
They want that.
They want that because that brings, you know, revenue and all that stuff. So I don't really see no rules changing for real.
But I know that's got to be frustrating for any defensive player to try to be defensively sound and then play, like you said, how you practice. You practice with speed. You practice with pace. Mm-hmm. You guys are taught to pursuit, in pursuit of the football and these are that, things of that nature. And then you're getting penalized for essentially what you're being paid
to do. Coach
to do.
To do. Right. Yeah.
And coach to do.
Right.
Yeah. For 2023, for the next 5 years. So if it's going to get worse, right, let's say, right, from a defensive perspective, you guys say we want our rule changes, or you guys just go with the flow of the offensive rule changes? Because there's a lot of guys saying, well, let's change some things on defense, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. For, I don't know, like I said, the pass interference is one, right? If we're going to change that back because they've made it so offensive friendly. They make everything so offensive friendly, right? So you guys look at that as a minus for the defense and say we want some changes on defense. You guys like, oh, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Right.
Of course we want some changes on defense of how, like, you know, offensive ball carriers, they can dip their head. You know?
Right, there's an example.
And they don't get flagged for that.
Right. You know? They can put their head down and it's not crowning, it's but not you crowning. Guys do it and it's crowning.
So it gotta be both ways. You guys are gonna call it, make it fair, call it both ways. But like I said, they like
right, because they're initiating contact. Exactly. They're wanting to inflict, you know, contact and obviously pain in a sense. Why can't it be the same way? Yeah, I get it. I totally get it, man.
I mean, I'm on the offensive side, and it frustrates me.
Bro, I'm looking at the game, too, and I'm like, bro, how is this pass interference, bro? I'm like, that's nothing.
Yeah, he ain't touching.
Barely.
I remember there was one play. I forgot who the D tackle was. I want to say was he playing for the Falcons? Was it Hargraves or something? Okay. I forgot, but he like tackled Tom Brady and like didn't land on him, nothing. Mm-hmm. Just like slung him down and he got and it was a strip sack. It might have been Chris Jones. They called like a roughing the passer and they got the ball back and the extra 15 and
put him in the red zone, something like that. Yeah.
I was like, what the heck is going on? But
and that's the NFL being
NFL. Tom Brady, you know, all those things on one dope.
right.
Don't touch Tom.
Just don't touch him,
man. That's
so
cool.
And now again, for what? I guess have you played against Tom yet? Tom
yeah.
Brady? Okay.
Yeah.
You got him? Did you get the sack on him?
Ooh, I got some hits, but
got
no
some
sacks.
Hits, no sack.
I think I'm like 0-3 against him.
Okay. Well, who's somebody you want to get a sack?
0-3 forever.
And forever.
You're over.
Who's somebody on that list you want to get a sack? Who's on the list that you like? I gotta get him before he get out of here.
It's crazy. As much time as I played against Patrick Mahomes, I never sacked him.
Really?
I picked them off. I've got hits, but I've never sacked them.
Okay. So he's on the list.
He's definitely on
the
list.
Okay. All right.
And it's probably eating him that you picked him off, though. That's probably worse for him.
He probably don't even remember that. Yeah, you won a Super Bowl. You probably don't even remember that.
He's like, I threw 10 picks. I ain't tripping.
Right.
Who else is on that list as a quarterback? Who else you trying to get? You're like, I just want sacks. I don't care who it is.
Well, you own Lamar Jackson. You say you own Lamar Jackson.
I do not. What you got to do? I do not own Lamar Jackson. Lamar is a great player. Nothing but respect.
I'm definitely looking at that on the schedule this year. Seattle and Baltimore, let me say.
I don't know. I feel like every quarterback I go against, man, I want to get down, man. Right. I feel like that's just what I want to do. No matter which quarterback it is, I just want to get them all.
Right. Sacks or tackles?
Sacks.
Sacks or interceptions?
Sacks.
Sacks is for those bags, huh?
That's what I'm saying, man. You know.
Sacks for those bags.
Sacks,
I already
that's
know.
That's how you get paid.
Sacks for sacks.
Sacks with a sack.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Shoot, I know you don't watch ball a lot, but I want to get your top five sackers of all time. What's your top
all time?
Five? Yeah, top five sackers of all time. It could be, again, DN, outside linebacker.
Linebacker, whatever.
And these are your five, not necessarily statistical.
Honestly, I don't even know. Lawrence Taylor, of course.
Yeah, there you go. You that, gotta say,
gotta say that. Yeah. I watched a lot of Julius Peppers.
Okay,
okay,
yeah.
JP.
Animal.
He's not my size, but he's huge.
He's right, a big dude.
Long, long.
Big
long,
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shoot.
What about Ray Lewis? We'll help you out a little bit.
Ray Lewis?
We don't got sacks, though.
He's not a sacker. But he's disruptive, though.
Von Miller.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I like Von. Kind of similar in size.
Say, you guys
Von
are the same size.
Okay. I like him a lot. I like Chandler Jones a lot because he's like unorthodox. You know, he's different. He's not like all these other rushers.
He's kind of like a tweener for his position.
You think so?
Yeah, because he's very athletic, but he's big.
Yeah, he's big.
You know what I mean? I think so.
Yeah. I like the way he rushes. Like, he does a lot of stuff that in good band, like, you just don't see on a regular basis.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, kind of like that tweener type of, like, athletic ability. He got the size of, like, a DN, but he can still probably, could play linebacker, all types of positions.
Yeah, yeah. What are we, that's three?
See, that's four.
That's four?
That's four right there. Who else you got?
Oh, I see, but you got those aloe socks on.
Oh yeah, yeah, man. I saw you had the aloe bag when you walked up. I was gonna say something.
Yeah,
I like aloe, man. Shout out to aloe, man.
Shout out to aloe.
Yeah.
Like a walking billboard over here, dog. You got the ice, you got the perp, you know what I mean? You got the Dior.
Next time I come back, I'm gonna wear the sweats.
No brand.
Got some Dior's on. I see you, boy.
Come on, man. I gotta do it right.
Yeah.
It's light, but it's right. You know, I
got
it.
Give us one more. That's four. Give us another sacker of all. Can we get Reggie White again? Derek Thomas, Strahan,
OCU Miura.
Okay.
New York Giants. OC. Okay.
I got a chance to go do NFL Africa thing.
Okay, Nigerian.
Yeah.
Okay.
OC. I liked OC a lot.
No doubt.
He was good dude.
OC cool
he
people.
Was definitely
He's
good
cool
dude.
People.
Well, when do you make the change? Like, when did you say, you know, I want to be a rusher more than just a typical outside linebacker type?
I kind of just fell into it a little bit, because when I got drafted at the Chargers, I was more of like a off the ball backer kind of. And, you know, on third down, you know, they see I had some rush potential.
You got to put your hand down.
Put my hand down, stand up, whatever. And then I just kept making plays, I guess. And so I just kept moving forward with that position. It kind of just stuck with me. So I see, you know, it's kind of the best position on the defense, really, if you can get
really
the quarterback.
Is.
So, yeah, it kind of just
skill.
Worked out for me.
Yeah. So. Now, again, because people out there that, nope, I'm this. I only want to be this. And then coach asks them to change positions. And they're like, oh, my gosh, I can or I won't. And then they have an attitude about it, whatever that may be, right? How did you accept the change, if you will?
I accepted it because it was fun. You know, especially the guys I had in that room. You know, when I was a rookie, I was with Melvin Ingram. Wow, I was with Joey Bosa. You know, so that room was fun. You know, seeing those guys make splash plays, I'm like, I want to do that too.
Right. It's contagious.
It's contagious. I want to get some too. So, like, I was kind of happy to be in that role. You know, off the ball is fun, but, you know, you got to – it ain't fun, like, rushing the passer, sacking the quarterback, getting a sack fumble, you know. Yeah. So, it was just fun for me.
Nothing makes that crowd go wild like them quarterback sacks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah.
With the 12th man, that's your people up there?
Chinadu Wosu.
So give me the 12th man compared to the L.A. Chargers fan base.
It's different. You know, Chargers, they have their fans, but it's kind of tough because, you know, being in L.A., there's so much to do.
So much, yeah.
And, you know, the Chargers, you know, their fans were upset that they left San Diego and came to L.A., so they were kind of on the border. But Seattle, they have, you know, they've been there, you know, they've won championships there, you know, they've had all these great players. And their fans really ride. I feel like Seattle, you know, is football and, you know, that's pretty much it when they had the Supersonics, but really football is really what it is. Yeah. And so those fans are really diehard and they ride and they show you love. So
that's what's up.
I got to experience it for myself when we played Monday night against the Broncos. That crowd was probably the loudest crowd I've ever played against ever in my entire life of living.
Really?
Yes. I couldn't hear nothing. It was rocking. It was fun.
It gets loud in there now. Yeah.
You know, they was over here. They was celebrating Russell Wilson, but they was always booing him at the same time. Yeah. Was like, oh, wow. Like, this is real, you know? So it was crazy. It was electric. And they ride.
That's what's up. Let everybody know where they can find you on social media.
Yeah. Twitter, Uchenna N_42. And Instagram is just my last name, Nwosu, N-W-O-S-U.
There it is, man. Thanks for coming on the show, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. Yeah, Uchenna Nwosu, man. Seattle
Ready
Seahawks,
podcast.
Man. Appreciate
12th
you.
Man.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt, man. Appreciate
Already.
You.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Already, my man.
Pleasure.
Yes, sir.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.